Okay, so we're on Daf Gimel this evening. All right, let's take a look. So if you remember in yesterday's Daf, please, I need everyone's attention. We said there were 15 araya, 15 forbidden relations that that would block off Yibam. We said Yibam is always like one of the erevas because your brother's wife is always prohibited to you, but there's a special mitzvah in the Torah to do with Yibam. But if there's another ereva involved that blocks it off, so, for example, we went over this yesterday, you have Reuben and Shimon. So if Reuben marries Shimon's daughter, i.e. Reuben marries his niece, and then Reuben dies, so Shimon has no mitzvah of Yibum with his daughter. So the Gemara listed the 15 arayot, and the Gemara was trying to understand what's the reason for the order of the different arayot. So we went through the Gemara yesterday, in Saf Gimel. I'll go over a little bit from yesterday. But the Gemara ends up saying on the bottom line, two lines from the bottom on Beis Amid Beis, Ella Bito came into Ati Midrasha Chavivalei. So the Gemara says that the daughter, since we derived the prohibition of marrying, when it's so Bito, it's Bito Me'anusato. It's his out of wedlock daughter. That's what Chazal teaches us. So Bito means his out of wedlock daughter. So Bito, but the whole Isur of Bito is not explicit in the Torah. The Torah never says that you can't have relations with your out-of-wedlock daughter. The Torah only says you can't have relations with your married wife's daughter and the granddaughter, but never, and says you can't have relations with your out-of-wedlock granddaughter, but never says the daughter. So there's a Gzeira Shava between the two psukim, which we'll learn in a few seconds. It teaches me that the Bito is prohibited. So the Gemara says, El Bito came into Akiva Drasha Chavivalei. So Bito, since we're able to learn it from a Drasha, are you joining us tonight, Rabbi Yisrael? No. Oh, okay, you're doing your own thing. Okay. So El Bito came into Akiva, since it's learned out from a Drasha Chavivalei. So the Tana, he's enamored. You learn something from a Drasha, the Tana loves it. So he wants to teach Bito first, because the whole Drasha teaches me Bito. So the Gemara says on the top line in Gimel and Aleph, Kulunami Midrasha Atu. So the Gemara says, but all the Arayot, we have 15 Arayot in the Mishnah, they're all learned from a Drasha, meaning that we learn there's a Drasha that the Gemara has you can't marry your wife's sister. So the Gemara learns from there that applies to and you can't marry the wife's sister, and there's no mitzvah Yibum with the wife's sister. And the Gemara learns out all the other arayot it learns from the wife's sister. So kulunai midrashia midrasha atu. So all the other surim are also learned from midrasha. So the Gemara says nihilin in yibum atin midrasha. So the Gemara says you're right. The p'tur from yibum it is derived from midrasha by all of them. But ikar isurayu behediktibahu. But the ikar prohibition, in other words, that I can't have relations with any of these arayot, that's explicit in the Torah. But Bito, Ikar, Isura, Midrasha. But with the daughter, again, the daughter out of wedlock, the whole Isur is not written in the Torah explicitly. That's coming from Midrasha. The Amar Rava, Rava says, Amali Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abdimi, the Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abdimi said, Atya Hena Hena, Atya Zima Zima. This is a double Zerah Shabbat that we learned yesterday. So if you remember, we said that this two psukim, excuse me, doesn't hear. One second. So there's one pasuk that says, Erevan Isha Bitalo Tilei Babinavi Babito, that Isha means his wife. So you can't have relations with a woman, your wife, and her daughter. Could be your daughter as well. He says, and Bapinavi Bapita, the granddaughter, you can't. That's explicit in the Torah. Then there's another pasuk that says, Ervat Bapincha, Bapincha lo tegalei, Ervat Bahena. Ervat Bapincha is the erva of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. You can't reveal, but that's talking about where it's the same. Isha doesn't mention that pasuk because there was no marriage in that situation. So, but in the first pasuk, though, it says, Sha'ara Hena Zimahi. And here it says ki erbat chahena. Both those sukim are linked by the word hena. So the Gemara takes it just like the prohibition for your in wedlock daughter is in pasuk, the first pasuk. So your out of wedlock daughter, we're going to derive from the Gzeira Shava. And then there's another pasuk that says later on doshim He says, if you have relations with a woman and her mother, it's zimahi. It's a depraved plot, he says here. So it mentions zima in the first pasuk there as well. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, the Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Adimi, Akya Hena Hena. So the two pasukim Hena Hena, that's the Gzeirah Shava that teaches me that there is a prohibition against having relations with your out of wedlock daughter. Akya Zima Zima. Zima teaches me that they're all chayiv and strepa, because it says by one pasuk, it says, Ba'ishis Rukuo Tovi Hen, with the wife and the mother. And then it says Zima by this other pasuk. So again, the basic idea we're saying, why do we have the order in the Mishnah where we have it? So the Gemara right now says, Bito, the Tana is, you know, enamored with Bito because there's the whole Drasha involved with it. And this is the Drasha, so he wants to teach Bito first. So Bito is the first one. He teaches in the Mishnah that if your brother is married to your daughter, and so she pastures the Tzaras and the Tzaras of the Tzaras. All right. We did this all yesterday, but any questions for what we did so far? Everybody good? Out of wedlock, right? Okay. So the Gemara says on line 6, "Hashda the Amid Kol Milta the Akim Drasha Chaviva Lang." Now that you said that anything that comes from a drasha, the Tana loves. He says, "Fantastic." Litni Lachot Isha Basof. So Achot Isha is your wife's sister. That's one of the Arayot. Your wife's sister. So it says, you can't take a woman and her sister as rival wives. So that one, even though there is a drush that's involved, so Gemara has it, we did this yesterday. So on Amud Beis, it says, Aleha, it says, Yavama Yavo Aleha. And it says, Vishal, so mentions aleha, aleha. So Chazal teach us that the prohibition of even though there's yibum is the mitzvah, but and even under those circumstances, you can't take your wife's sister. So that's a little more of the drashas. That one's more straightforward. In other words, all the other arayot, like Rabbi Sulovsky was saying to me, you have like a double drasha. It was here you have, that's the building block for all the arayot. I know by the wife's sister that there's no mitzvah of yibum with the wife's sister. The Gemara has a drasha. Here, let's go over it again. We did this last night, but we'll go over it again. And we'll do it again today. Look on Gimel Beis quickly. So he says, look on the sixth line on Gimel Beis, 3b, the sixth line. So the Gemara says, it's a manani mile, the Tana Rabbanan, Yishalach otah lo tikach l'tzrua l'galot erbatah le'bechayeha, that you shouldn't take a woman, a wife and her sister, l'tzrua, to be rival wives, l'galot erbatah le'bechayeha, reveal their nakedness during their lifetime. So aleha matam lomar, so what do I need the word aleha in that pasuk? So the Gemara says, l'pishin amar yivama yabo aleha, there's another pasuk that there's a mitzvah for yibum. So Shmeini Yafil Bakat Mikol Raidam over Torah. So left to my own devices, I would think that there's a mitzvah of Yibum, even if there's an underlying erva. In other words, under all circumstances, the mitzvah of Yibum. So he says, Mikol Raidam over Torah, the bear. So Neamar Khan Alev and Neamar Lahalan Alev. So here the Torah writes Aleha in both instances. Malahalan B'mako Mitzvah. So just like by Yibum, Aleha is written, even though it's a mitzvah, you have mitzvah yibum, afkan b'makom mitzvah. So too, the prohibition of a woman and her sister is even b'makom mitzvah. So even b'makom mitzvah, the prohibition is still in place. So that's the yisod, and then we learn, the Gemara, we don't have it yet, there's going to be a hekesh between, that's one of the arayot. So we know that one of the arayot, the wife and her sister, so that's one of the arayot that blocks off yibum. In other words, the two brothers are married to two sisters. In other words, Reuben and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, and Rachel and Leah are sisters, and Reuben and Shimon are brothers. So if Reuben dies, and now Shimon is faced with his wife's sister, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So from the case of Yibum, we have a hekesh to all the other arayot. Tomorrow later on, so we have a hekesh. That's the foundational limud. But that's only, it's just one gzeirah shava. Everything is built on that, is a hekesh on top of it. So back on the Gemara, Gimel Mid Aleph. So the Gemara says on line 5, on Gimel Mid Aleph, 3a, line 5, So he's saying the Tana, he's learning the Arayot in order of the Chidushim, of all the Drashos, to Litni Lachot Isha L'Basof. So Achot Isha could be the last one in the Mishnah he teaches, because that's the most simple in terms of Drashos. Everything is more complicated than that. So the Gemara says, I need the Ayri B'Isr Achvata Tana Achot Isha. So the Gemara says the Tana was discussing different Arayot, and he was discussing sisters, like you have your maternal sister and things like that. And then, so he says, so Tana Achot, you know, is if your brother is married to your maternal sister. So he says, so Tana Achot Ishto. So your sister's sister, that's why he learns Achot Ishto. Lidni Lahai Baba L'Basof. So the Gemara says, fine, let him teach all the sisters at the end of the group. Ella, so rather the Gemara says, Tana, okay, we're trying to explain the order of the Arayot, and our Hezber up till now is that the things that comes from a drasha he teaches first, but then the Gemara can't understand it. If he's focusing on the drashas, so he should have worked it out that Achot Ishto comes out at the last. And even though there are other sisters there, but they should all be at the last, at the end of it. So the Gemara rejects that limud. Okay? Everybody good so far? Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far? Everybody good in the cyber world? All right, so I'm going to go on. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Rafi. To a coin? Yeah, it is relevant to a coin. In other words, a coin is only prohibited to marry a grusha. A coin can marry, you know, an almana, except a coin gadol can't. Okay, let's get back on the Gemara. Right, a coin cannot marry a chalutza, but that's not the case we're talking about here. Okay, now, so let's see, back on the Gemara, we're on line 8. Give a lemon on line 8. So the Gemara revises its understanding for the reason for the order in the Mishnah. Ela tana kurbi kurbi naka. So you know, press like the delete button on what we set up to now, or you know, we're going to a different drasha. Ela tana kurbi kurbi naka. The Tana is teaching me in terms of, you know, consanguinity. In other words, like how closely related the Arayot are to you. So he says, Tana Bito, Ubat Bito, Bat Bino, Mikrobi Atzmo. So first he teaches your out of wedlock daughter, your, you know, granddaughter from an out of wedlock relationship, from your daughter or from your son. That's Mikrobi Atzmo. Those are the ones that are closest to the person. Obviously, my daughter, my granddaughter, that's very close to me. By Tana Shoshadora Lamata today, and then once the Tana teaches me three generations, he's the first generation. In other words, the surviving brother is the first generation. So once he teaches me three generations going down from the man, Tana Nami Shoshad wrote Lamata Dida. Teaches me three generations going down from his wife. In other words, if he has a legally a lawful wife, so three generations, so you know, her daughter and her granddaughters. But I did the Tana Shoshad wrote Lamata Dida, and then once he teaches me three generations going, so we got 3, 6. Well, 15 is the magic number, obviously, right? So he says, so I did Tana Shoshad wrote Lamata Dida. So I did Lamata Dida, Lamata Dida, the Tana Shosha Dero Lamala Dida. Then I go three generations above from her. In other words, her mother, in other words, if my brother was married to my mother-in-law, that type of thing. Or my brother was married to my wife's grandmother, either through her father or her mother. So that's 9. Okay, so now we're up to 9 Arayot. But Tana Achoto V'Achot Imom, then he teaches his sister. In other words, if the person has a maternal sister, in other words, I could have a sister, but Yibum is through the father's line. So I could have a sister through my mother, but my brother on my father's side could marry that sister, and that could be the case. So he teaches me that. But Tanakoto, Bachot Imo, his mother's sister, which is in hand, the Krobiatsmo, those are people who car up to him. So I think we're up to 11 Arayot. But I need the Iri B'Isra Achva. And then once he's teaching me the prohibitions with like you know, sisters, you know, he says, Tana Achot Ishto. Then he goes to Achot Ishto. Then he goes to his wife's sister. Okay, so pretty good. We have a working shot now for the Mishnah. He says, Uvedinu, Lekadmon Lekalatomi Kami Eshen Achiv, Shalayaba Olamo. He says, now, technically speaking, the Gemara says, we should put, at this point, we should put his daughter-in-law before his Eshet Achiv Shloya Ba'olamo. Now, if you remember, we did Eshet Achiv Shloya Ba'olamo yesterday. So Eshet Achiv Shloya Ba'olamo, if you remember, is if you have Reuven and Shimon and Levi. So Reuven was married, then Reuven dies, and Levi is born after Reuven dies. So Levi is a sibling, he's his brother, but he wasn't Ba'olamo, he didn't live at the same time as Reuven. So there's no mitzvah with Yibum for him, because there's Keshvuchim Yachav. So it came out that Reuven's widow is prohibited on Levi, and there's no mitzvah of Yibum for her. And her tzara would also be prohibited. So he says, so the Gemara says, technically speaking, he should put the daughter-in-law before Eshet Achiv Shlo, before his brother's wife, you know, the brother who didn't live in the world the same as him. In other words, the last arayot are not really relatives to him. In other words, his daughter-in-law is not a relative. I mean, relative, you know, like through the son, but there's like no blood between them. And then you have, you know, he takes it like Eishet Achiv Shlo Yaba Olamo. Anyway, so they're distant relatives. He says, Ella, I read, in other words, and the reason he should put Kala To first is because the Kala is a chi of Skila. In other words, the penalty to have relations with your daughter-in-law is Skila. So that's a Chamor debt. He says, Globishum Korbu Dasira, Ella, I need the Irib Mr. Afa. But since he's already talking about the prohibitions like between sisters and things like that, so he went to your brother's wife, in other words, like brotherhood, sisterhood. He says, and then he teaches about the kala. Okay, let's just summarize what we did. Then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we'll go on. Okay, so the basic idea is we said there are 15 arayot that block off Yibum. That's the Aleph phase, 15 arayot that block off Yibum. And the first one the Tana teaches me is Bito, and it's Bito Me'anusato, his out of wedlock daughter. So we said, why does the Tana organize them in the way that the Tana organizes it? So at the end of the day, the Gemara says that the Tana is doing it because of Kurva. In other words, how did the Gemara call it? Tana Kurva, Kurva Nakat. In other words, the closer you're related to me, he lists the more closer Arayot he lists first, and the more distant Arayot later on. So your closest Arayot are your daughter and your granddaughters. You know, your daughter out of wedlock, and then your granddaughter, and then he lists let's say you were legally married, so then it could be your daughter or it could be just your wife's daughter. It doesn't not much for you one way or the other way. So then you have the daughter and the granddaughter and the two granddaughters there. And then he talks when he's doing that, then he talks about on the wife's side going up three generations. That's the first nine. And then after that, he hooks into sisters, and then at the end he puts Kalato, he puts the daughter-in-law. So even though the daughter-in-law is a chiv skila, so I would have thought it would come a little bit earlier, but he says that we're doing the sisters first. Okay, but the main thing to remember is that we have the drasha that we did already, the out of wedlock daughter. That was the we did before. He says, "Everybody, you know, it's Hina Hina Zima Zima, right?" He says, "Hina Hina Zima Zima," the double Xerah Shava. And then, but the more significant drasha we had, or at least for this Masechta, is Ishalach Otalo Tikach Letzror Aleh Bachiyah. Don't take a woman and her sister as rivals. And the Gemara learns from there that even Makom Mitzvah, I can't take my wife's sister. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far? No, we'll see. 15 is a very precise number, and there are no more, though there are opinions that there should be more. We'll see in the Gemara. What? So, no, well, we had Drabbanans already, I think, in the Mishnah we had Drabbanans, right? We'll see. The Gemara is going to address this, okay? Just wait another 20 lines, and the Gemara will come to that. Okay, any other questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? Right? Well, I mean, let's say they're on an island together. comes and nobody's on the island. You know, there are ways to verify. It's assuming this is out of wedlock daughter. All right, now. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right.
I think the only person she's with is
all right.
A customer at some point.
All right. Okay, so now we're around, you know, 15 lines from the bottom on Gimel Med Aleph. Okay, 3a around 15 or 20 lines from the bottom. So Umay Yir Yid Tana Potrot Litnei Ostrot. So now the Gemara is asking, if you look at the first line in the Mishnah, everybody turn back to the Mishnah on Beis Med Aleph. The Mishnah says Chameshes Rei Nashim Potrot Tzarotein Bitzrot Tzarotein Min Achalitzim Min Agibam At Sofa Olam. There are 15 women who, in other words, they're Bagai, the 15 women are exempt. They're not in the Parsha. But they patter their tzarot. I'm sorry, you all weren't here, or some people weren't here yesterday, but I went through this. They patter their co-wives, or tsaros, and they patter the co-wives of the co-wives. Let me go repeat again, just for the review for the people, or if people weren't here. Did you do yesterday's staff or not? Oh, and Michael, you did yesterday's staff also? Oh, you were here yesterday? Oh, forgive me, you are here. Okay, all right, so let's just repeat again briefly. So it means, let's say you have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Let's say Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter, Rachel. And so then Reuven dies, so Shimon can't marry Rachel because that's his daughter. We said that there's pure from that. Let's say Reuven is married to two wives. He's married to Rachel, and he's married to his second wife, Leah, who's not in any way related. So Reuven has no mitzvah of Yibam or Chalitza with Rachel. He's got no mitzvah of Yibam or Chalitza with Leah. She's the Tzara of Rachel. Let's say now, so Shimon is out of the picture because one of the wives was his daughter. Levi is the third brother. So Levi, it's not his daughter. So Levi could do Yibam with either one of them. But let's say Levi does Yibam with Leah, who was the co-wife of Rachel. And then Levi has another wife, Bilhah. So Levi is married to two women. Neither one was a niece. One was a co-wife to the niece, and one's a co-wife to the co-wife. So it's the Tzara and the Tzara of the Tzara. Then Levi dies. Now Shimon looks at the two wives of Levi. So Levi is married to Leah, who's not his niece, not his daughter, but it was the woman who was the co-wife to his daughter. And she's also married to Bilhah, who is the co-wife of the co-wife. So even with Bilhah, so there's a tour because that's the Tzara of the Tzara. And if you have four brothers, five brothers, you can have Tzara of the Tzara, Tzara ad infinitum. Okay, so what the Mishnah says, though, that these 15 women, potrot, the exempt Tzarotein, their co-wives, the Tzarot Tzarotein, and the Tzaros of the Tzaros. Okay, let's get back in the Gemara now.
Can I ask a question before
go?
When, in your last example, Shimon is the one who has the daughter that married to Reuven, and Levi can now marry one of Reuven. Reuven dies, Levi can marry one of the wives. Can he choose the wife?
Yes. All right, now let's go on. Now, let's take a look back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, why is it that the Tana uses the Lashon Potro? Potro means they're exempted. He says, Litni Osro. In other words, Potro, it sounds like you don't have to if you want to, you could. Right? And it's like, you know, it's like I say, you're Pater from Sukkah, like women are Pater from Sukkah, but if they want, they could. So why does the Tana use the word Potro? It makes sense, Ostro, that the Asher, the Tzaros from Yibam and Chalitza. So the Gemara says, Itana Ostro, Habamina, Asur Liabem of Michlat Chalza. So the Gemara assumes right now that if we would use the term Ostro, we would say that Hameshis Rei Nashim, Ostro, you know, Tzarotehen, Mina Yibam, like from the Yibam. So if I would say Ostro, I would say, yeah, there's a prohibition to doing Yibam of Omechlat Chalza. But if she wants to, she could do chalitza. In other words, yeah, yibam they can't do, but chalitza they could do. So kamashvalan. So by saying potrod, you're exempted. That teaches me. In other words, osrod like you're asked to do something. So I think asr just yibam. Potrod, I'm like out of the picture. That's what we think. So he says. So the Gemara says, kamashvalan. So the Gemara says, "Belitni asur laklots." So why doesn't the Tana just teach that they prohibit their sorrows from Yibam and they prohibit them from Chalitza? So the Gemara says, "My kavi, the lama lo, why should they be prohibited from Chalitza?" The Gemara thinks the possibility that maybe the tzaros, there's nothing wrong with them doing a chalitza. The chalitza is just a ceremony. So it's so terrible. They go through the ceremony, the guy put on a shoe, they'll do it, and it's fine. So imata omer chalitza mityabemet. So the Gemara says, no, they are prohibited from chalitza, because if you tell them that they could do chalitza, so in another situation, they'll come to do yibum. He says, came under the makom mitzvah, who anyway, so indeed, so it means like this. So the Gemara entertained the possibility, maybe they could do chalitza. So the Gemara says, absolutely not. Because if I tell somebody they could do chalitza, that would lead me to think chalitza is the, you know, the opposite side of the, you know, coin for a yibum. So he says, so the Gemara says, came under the makom mitzvah, who da asira, tsara, I came under the makom mitzvah, who da asira, Sarah, the Shlomo Makom Mitzvah Shari. I'm sorry. Even Makom Mitzvah Huda Asira Tzara, Shlomo Makom Mitzvah Sharia, Yishmahaki Tana Potro. So he says like this: if the Gemara wants to emphasize that if it's a Makom Mitzvah, so there's a din of the Tzara, of the co-wife. In other words, here in a Yibum situation, if there's a co-wife, so the co-wife is out of the picture, Potro. Shlomo Makom Mitzvah Sharia. Let's say Shimon's daughter marries somebody else. He marries Yisachar, who's not one brother, and then Yisachar has another wife. Rivka. So then, if Yisachar dies, so I'm free to marry Rivka. There's no prohibition on me to the co-wife of my daughter. And it was in a normal situation outside the Yibum situation. If someone's a co-wife of my daughter, there's no prohibition that redounds to me on marrying the co-wife. If once the marriage is,
your father?
I'm the father of one of the wives, but there's no prohibition on me marrying another wife that's the co-wife of her. Co-wife. If it's not a Yibum situation, I could. So he says like this. So let's back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Came with the makom mitzvah who does sirat sara." So the tzara is only prohibited in the situation where there's a mitzvah of yibum, which loves makom mitzvah sharia, and not makom mitzvah, he learns permissible, but shimahaki potro. In other words, if he would say oath throat, I would think that like there's an Easter that attaches to the tzara. In other words, in all situations, that's what I would think. If somebody's a co-wife with my daughter, somebody's a co-wife with one of my arayot, so it's a prohibition on me in every situation. So therefore, the Tana says potro, that they exempt them. You know, the teaches me that the prohibition is only in this situation. Okay, let me do a few more lines, and then I will pull it. Why is it that Tana, we mentioned this last night, why does he say that they exempt them from chalitza and from yibum? Yibum is the main thing. Why does he just say they exempt them from yibum? In other words, they pack them from yibum. He says, Yitana min a yibum, havamina mechbat chalitza. He says, Yibumi lo miyama. So I would think, if I say that they potter them from Yibum, I would think, yeah, they potter them from Yibum, but they're still mitzvah chalitza. So kamashmalan, kola ola Yibum, ola la chalitza. We'll say ola Yibum and ola la chalitza. In other words, they both rise and fall together. If you're in the parsha for Yibum, the parsha for chalitza. Not in the parsha for one, not in the parsha for the other one. The linim and a yibum and a chalitza. Why does he put chalitza first and then yibum? You do yibum and then chalitza. Yibum is the mitzvah d'oraisa. So inami min a chalitza l'puta. Or he should say they pater from chalitza, because we said if you're not in the parsha for chalitza, you're not in the parsha for yibum. So abba shu'ulhi, and this is what Fern was mentioning last night. So the Gemara says the Tana of our Mishnah is following the sheet of abba shu'ul. The amar mitzvah chalitza could come in the mitzvah yibum. Abba Shaul says that Bizman Azeh, Chalitza is more preferable to Yibum. Let's take a look at Abba Shaul. One second, I'll come to you. Okay, one second. 1 minute.
Second to last line in the Rashi.
1 second. Yeah. So I want to go to Lamed Tet Amud Beis. Okay, turn to 39b. Okay. Okay, so look around the 20 lines down in the Gemara. Everybody have it, page 78, 39b, around 20 lines down. The first words online are Tanana Tan. So the Gemara says, Tanana Tan, Mitzvah Yibum Kodem, Mitzvah Chalitza. So we learn in the Mishnah Masechet Bechorot that the Mitzvah Yibum, in other words, more preferable to do Yibum than to do Chalitza. But then the Mishnah says, Barishon Shem Kavanah Shem Mitzvah. That's only initially when people's Kavanah was the Shem Mitzvah. In other words, I just want to Lakim, my purpose is to Lakim Lakim Shem. I want to establish my brother's family. Achshav Shem Kavanah Shem Mitzvah. This is still part of the Mishnah. Now, people don't have the Shem Mitzvah, right? They're like the way the woman looks, you know, whatever. They have other interests in marrying her. So he says, so Amru Mitzvah Chalitza, because I'm a Mitzvah Yibum. The Chalitza is more preferable to Yibum. So the Tana here is alluding to different dinim. So the Tana says that Potro Tzaroteim and a Chalitza and a Yibum, they exempt the co-wives and the co-wives of the co-wives, and a Chalitza and a Yibum, because Chalitza is the more preferable way today in the time of the Mishnah. Now, all right, let me just do a little sheet here, and then I'll pose some questions, okay? Just let me just do a little bit, piece. So he mentions, okay, Ashkenazi communities follow Abba. Then the Gemara establishes that Mishnah follows Abba Shaul. That Mishnah follows Abba Shaul. What? Correct. So Ashkenazi communities follow Abba Shaul's opinion, and as a practical matter, they do not practice even today from police instead. And I think most Sephardim also do not practice Yibum today. There are some, but I what? Mishnahis? All right. So I think maybe Taimanim do, but I don't know if they still do it even today, but they did, I think, in Taiman.
Other people
were, I ain't
had to, was involved in the case.
All right. Anyway, significantly, many authorities agree that in the following situations in which Chalitza is not a viable option, Yibum should perform even today. So the poskim say that even for Ashkenazim who don't do Yibum, there are situations where Yibum is required. First case, if either Yavam or Yavama is a mute, Chalitza cannot be performed because the required Chalitza passages cannot be recited. In other words, there's things they have to say. So if they can't say it, they can't do Chalitza. So if they can't do Chalitza, they have to do Yibum. If the Yavam is the second case, if the Yavam's right foot is twisted or broken, so you cannot properly don the Chalitza shoe, Chalitza cannot be performed. In those cases, if Yibum is disallowed, the Yavama would have to remain an aguna, unwed and restricted from marriage. In other words, she's loti aisha made a chutzli zar, so she's stuck between a rock and a hard place. he says, for the rest of her life, since the option of releasing her through chalitza is not available. Therefore, many authorities permit Yibum, and the couple is admonished from Yibum with pure intentions. In other words, you have a green light to do Yibum. So the base mayor, that's one of those say Kalim in Eben Ezer, says that the Yavam need not remain married to the Yavama. In other words, I have to Yibam, but I don't have to stay there forever. He has the option of divorcing her immediately after Yibam, if he so chooses, even against the will of the Yavama. So I can just marry her, and then the toodles, the next day I can call the what? In order to do the Yibam, I have to have relations with her, but then at any point in time after that, I could say sayonara. No. He explains that Rabbeinu Gershom's ban against... Okay, just one second. Now, there's a Chirim to Rabbeinu Gershom, and again, this is for Ashkenazim, but I think Sephardim have basically adopted it, that one of his... there was, Minat Torah, I can divorce a woman Baal Korach against her will. One of the concepts of Rabbeinu Gershom is that it has to be Meritzon. She has to be consent to the divorce. Usually that's not the issue. The issue is that they can't get the get. But in other words, in Luyatzur, her husband wants to divorce her, and she's not willing to get the divorce. So Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom says you can't give her a divorce unless she's on the page with it. So here, the base mayor says that Rabbeinu Gershom's been against their divorce without a wife's consent pertains only to an ordinary marriage. Here he says he could do it. He says where the husband is not compelled to marry, but not to Yavam, who marries the Yavam because of the mitzvah and for the sake of releasing her from the Zikat Yibam, the Yibam Ban. The base mayor adds that even if the Yavam is already married, if permitted from Yibam, takes a second wife. So let's say the brother already has a wife. And another one of Tachanas Rabbeinu Gershom is you can only have one wife. His mayor says, maintains Rabbeinu Gershom ban against bigamy does not apply in a case where chalitza is not possible and the Yavama will be forced to remain in guna for the rest of her life. But you have to explain to the local district attorney. Now, the Chuvas de Brei Chaim, while agreeing with this ruling of the base mayor, asserts that a Yavam who is already married at the time of Yibam may not remain married to two wives. Rather, he's required to divorce the Yavama immediately after Yibam is performed. Okay, so you have certain things where you can go outside the normal, what we would normally regard as the normal halachot, where you have to do Yibam. But generally speaking, chalitza is the preferred way. Okay, who's a questions, comments, thoughts on anything? Okay, Daniel's got a question.
Where does it say that your kavanah has to be only l'shem you know, the lacking zealot.
So,
and how can you come and say lashon hara on a person where you don't have enough kavanah today?
No.
The person's brother passed away.
Okay. So Daniel asked, where does it say that he has to have pure kavanah? So it says that Yibami Yavola, he says, He says, "Lakim lachiv shame b'Yisrael." In other words, established like his father's family is what the Torah says. So the Gemara, in other words, with Yibum, you either have a big aveira or a big mitzvah. In other words, either it's eshet ach, which is always prohibited to me, or it's only permitted. The eshet ach is only permissible in case of Yibum. So if I don't have the kavanah that the Torah refers to, so Abba Shaul takes it. It's like karov to doing, you know, to engage in Easter Erva. All right, we'll see later on the Gemara. That's the way the Gemara takes it. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? What?
For Nadia?
Oh, you mean even if a person is doing Yibum, so they'll still go through a Masi Kiddushin? This I'm not sure. Oh, but if you heard, but I'm sure you heard it. What did he say? What did he say? He said that they go through Masi Kiddushin? I think what Rabbi Bornstein was referring to is Kiddushe Mamar. In other words, like Mamar, the way I recall, is that even though you have the Zika with let's say there's five brothers, so one brother is going to do the Yibum. He does a type of kiddushin with the woman, and that's to lock him in. I assume that's what he's referring to. Not talking about that? All right, I don't know. Okay, now, what did you want to say, Rafi?
Somebody else.
Regular case.
Not like
case.
Why is it
the people
with the mitzvah?
Let's go back in. In other words, you're saying if let's say Reuben and Shimon. Let's say Reuben is married to my daughter. So your question is, why is there no mitzvah of Yibum in that case to marry my own daughter? The co-wife. Okay, so the daughter, you understand, is an Arai, an Erva. The co-wife. So the Gemara, okay, we had the drasha. The Gemara's going to have the drasha in a few lines. Okay, wait for the drasha, we'll have it, okay? All right, I'm going to move on at this point. Okay, we're in Gimel and Aleph at the bottom of the daf, okay? Let's take a look. So the Gemara says, this is Michael's question. So, minyan d'reish l'mitimai, minyan d'seif l'mitimai. So whenever the Mishnayot give a number, so it's taken that we can do the counting on ourselves. So the number is usually like this and not that. So here, the Talmud Mishnah says there are chameishah nashim potrot tzarotayan. Initially, that's the first line. There are 15 women that pacted the tzarotayan and tzarotayan. And then after the 15 women, it says harei elu potrot tzarotayan minachalis menibum and sovolam. Again, he repeats it at the end. So in other words, the 15 arayot are sandwiched in between two statements that these 15 women, you know, Pater the Tsaris and the Tsaris the Tsaris, and it says these, like, you know, Pater, and the Gemara takes it that these is like repetition. So the Gemara says, "Minyan d'reishis l'mitimai, minyan d'seif l'mitimai." So he says, top line on the base. Okay, and I don't have a lot of time for questions right now. I have to move on. So l'mayute d'rav udravasi. So it means these arayot are going to exempt it, but not the case that Rav and Ravasi speak about. So Rav says that Sarva Sota is a surah. Let's say Reuben was married to two wives, Rachel and Leah, who were not related to Shimon. And Rachel was Mizana. So Rachel is Asur the Bala, right? She's history. And And Rachel, as a result of that, the way Rabbi Sobolovsky was saying, she becomes like an erva, like prohibited on all the brothers as well. And according to Rav, the tzara, the co-wife, is also prohibited. So in other words, so Reuben was married to Rachel and Leah, Rachel was Mizana. So according to Rav, none of the brothers can do Yibum with that tzara. Reuben died. He says, Right. So in other words, so according to Rav, in a case like that, that would be the same thing. In other words, that the women, this woman, the one who was Mizana, the Sota, would pater her tzara and the tzara, everything else. Then that's Rav's case. Then Rav Asi's case is tzara ilani. Let's say my brother married a woman who never physically developed, but he knew that she was not physically developed and was never going to physically develop, so was not kiddushei taus. He married her. So there's no mitzvah of yibum with an ilanit, but that paters the tzara as well. That's according to Rav Asi. So according to Rav and Rav Asi, there are additional cases. That's what Michael was asking about, the 15 cases. Are there any other cases? So according to Rav and Rav Asi, those are additional cases. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah says 15-15 to exclude Rav and Rav Asi and Maraim, but the Tana is not agreeing with the Rav and Rav Asi holding. So the Gemara says, Rav and Rav Asi, lemiutimai. So how would Rav and Rav Asi explain the Mishnah? Right? In other words, they learn the Mishnah as well. What are they going to say? So the Gemara says, if they each hold from the other one, in other words, Rav holds from Rav Asi's Ptur and Rav Asi holds from Rav's Ptur, so they would say that what the Tana is excluding is the Tzara of a Mema'enet. Let's say you have the daughter that was married, let's say, on a Drabana level. Remember we said, Yitom v'chai bala, we did this last night, but in other words, if the father married her off, then she was divorced from husband number one, and then she's married on a Drabana level to Reuven. And then after Reuven dies, she says, I decided to do Mion, I'm revoking this marriage. But there's a Tzara there, So in that case, they'll hold that there's still a mitzvah to do chalitza with the tzara l'ma'enet. In other words, tzara l'ma'enet, in other words, in that case, it's not the patrin, because you still have a mitzvah chalitza. The other is maxir grushato. Let's say Reuben was married to Rachel. Reuben divorced Rachel. Rachel married, Asher. And then Asher divorced her, and then Reuven remarried her. That's machzir grushato. That's prohibited from the Torah. Once your wife, you divorce her, and then she marries somebody else, you can't take her back in. But he did take her back in. So now he's machzir grushato. So that woman is prohibited on all the other brothers. But what about her tzara? So the tzara is prohibited, but there's still a mitzvah to do chalitza with the tzara. So he says, now, so the Gemara says, so those will be the cases that are excluding it. So the Gemara says, and if Rav and Rav Asi don't hold from each other's opinion, so one exclusion will be to, exclude either the Tzara Tzota or the Tzara of the Ilani. Okay, so in other words, so again, let's just repeat. So we said we had, so the Mishnah says 15. 15 in the beginning, 15 in the end. So what is it coming to exclude? So the Gemara says it's coming to exclude that which Rav and Rav Asi posit. Rav and Rav Asi say there are additional cases. The cases are that you have the Tzara of a Sota and the Tzara of an Iloni. Also, Pater, Tzara and Tzara Tayan. So Lachor, that would be the way we go. So the Gemara says that, the Tana Mishnah doesn't hold from Rav and Rav Asi. So the Gemara says, what is Rav and Rav Asi going to say? It's coming to exclude. So Rav and Rav Asi will come to say it's coming to exclude the tzara of a mema'enet, where the daughter did miyun, she was married on a rabbanan level, and one to be the tzara of machzir grushato. So there's a mitzvah of chalitza, but it's not in regular p'tur. Now the Gemara says the Rav and Rav Asi let ninu. So according to Rav and Rav Asi, why doesn't the Mishnah have 17 cases, right? So lefisha ena b'tzara tzara. It doesn't, so it was Rav and Rav Asi say, yeah, these cases are pturim, but the ptur doesn't extend to the tzara of the tzara. In other words, with the other arayot, so then it goes on, it can go on to the co-wife, to the co-wife, to the co-wife, to the co-wife. But with the Tsarat Sota and the Tsarat Iloni, it's only that Tsara. It never goes, yeah. it never goes beyond that. It never goes beyond. Well, the Sota certainly did an action. The Iloni, right, there's something good for the Iloni. Okay, but in other words, that's different. In other words, you don't have the Tsarat Sara. Okay. Now let's go further. We're running out of time. Now the Gemara says, "Benani Milei." Where do I know these that the Tzara is out of the Parsha? The Tzara is out of the Parsha. This is what you were asking before, Rafi. The Tana Rabbanan. We learned the Brisa. Yishalach Lotalo Tikach Letzruor Leglode Ratalo B'Chayah. That we did this earlier in the Daf, and we did it last night. A woman and her sister don't take Letzruor. Take his rival wives Leglode Ratat to reveal their nakedness Aleh B'Chayah on her in her life. So Aleh Ma Tamal Lomar. Why do I need that word Aleh? If I leave the word Aleh out, this is fine. So the Fishan Amar Yivama Yavo Aleh. There's another pasuk says, "But Yibam that Yivama Yavo Aleh." Yivama with the Mapike. The Yavam will have relations with his Yivama. So but his Aleh. Shemayni Afilu Bachat Mikol Raid Omur Betora Haktum Daber. So left to my own devices, I would say that the mitzvah of Yibam applies even when it would be in one of the Arayot. The Torah says that your brother dies, he's childless, he marries his wife, even if it's one of the Arayot. So the Gemara says, Nemar kan aleha, nemar lahalan aleha. So it says, by Yibam it says aleha, and it says about the man not marrying his sister, his wife's sister, it says aleha. Ma lahalan b'mako mitzvah, just like the mitzvah Yibam, it's talking about there's a mitzvah in the Pasuk, af kan b'mako mitzvah. So too, when the Torah says, don't take your wife and her sister, it's talking about even if it's a mitzvah situation. But Amarachman lo tikach, the Torah says, do not take them, even if it's a mitzvah. In other words, aleha aleha. Even if it's a mitzvah like Yibam, don't take your wife's sister. Okay, so that we learned. So now the wife's sister is out of the parasha. Ve'eli elohi, saratami nine. So now the only thing I know is there's no mitzvah to take the wife's sister, but how I know the co-wife is also out of the parasha. So tamen lomar litzvor. So obviously, if I it says like to be a rival wife, but obviously if I take, in other words, if I take my wife's sister, I know that they're rival wives. So the word letzror is kind of superfluous. So it's alluding to the fact that the tzara is also prohibited. The only tzara and I only know the co-wife. I don't know the co-wife of the co-wife we went through before. Tamalomar letzror below letzur. There's two ratios that like doubles it over. Okay, so I learned. So I learned that there's no mitzvah of Yibam if it's my wife's sister, and there's no mitzvah of Yibam even the co-wife or the co-wife of the co-wife is we'll see in a minute. So the Gemara is, and then the co-wife of the co-wife is also implied. So the Gemara says, the Ainli Allah Kot Isha. So I only know my wife's sister. Shara Rayot Minayin. How do I know that the other prohibited relations are also to him from Yibam? So Amrit, the Gemara says, analyze it. Ma'achod isha miyuchedet she erva v'chayno zanon karet. Let's look at each case. So achod isha, my wife's sister, she's an erva, and I'm chayv mezid karet if I have relations with her. And so the bottom line is that my wife's sister is prohibited to the yavam. Of course she erva, so too, any similar case where it's a prohibited relationship, you have karit and chatat there. Asur liyavam, so it's prohibited to liyavam. He says. Now, the Rabbi Sablovsky said there's another drasha the Gemara is going to have, but right now we have this being enough. Ve'in liyalehein. So I only know the other arayot. He said sarotein minayin. Where do I know that the co-wives of the other arayot are also out of the parsha? Jonathan, if you want to join us, we have a Gemara right over here. Okay. So he says here. Daniel, you still with us? Okay. So he says, Amrit, so ma'achot ishim yuched shi'erva v'chayvino zonakare v'shachatat, just like we're on page 6. He says, around 20 lines from the bottom, he says that just like achot isha is an erva, and v'chayv mezit kare shogichatat v'asur liyavam, it's prohibited liyavam, the tzarata surah, and the tzara is prohibited in the case of the wife's sister. Af kol shi'erva v'chayv zonakare v'shachatat v'asur liyavam, tzarata surah. So too, just like the tzara is prohibited by the wife's sister, so too with the other arai, the wife's sister is also out of the parsha. Mikanam ruch chamim chamesh sreinashim potro tzaratayim tzro tzaratayim and achalis medayibam at sofa olam. So from here, Chazal teach us that there are 15 women that exempt their tzaras and the tzaras of the tzaros from achalis from yibam in perpetuity. Now, yechol shenimar ba'af shesha rayot chamurot me'elu shitzaratein asurot. Now, there are 21 people that a person cannot marry. 15 we did in our Mishnah, but there are others. Let's say like my mother or a person's mother is an erva. Now, let's say not in the case of Yibum, I can't marry my mother, my brother can't marry my mother, then there's no kiddushin with that. Let's say somebody else marries my mother and somebody else has got a co-wife. So my mother was married to him and he had a co-wife and then he dies and now I want to marry the co-wife. I want to marry the tzara. So the Gemara says, Yehoshim Marba of Shisha Rai Chamurod, Me'elu should start Tena Surot. I might think the co-wife is prohibited on me. So Amrit, Ma Achor Ishtam Yocher Shi'er, Bechazon Akari, Vashtach Atak, Be'efshar Lina Sila Achim. In that case, with my wife's sister, so my wife's sister was permissible to my brothers, that was permissible. Basur Liyavam was prohibited Sarata Asura. In other words, that's the model. Where the tzara is prohibited, where it was subject to a yibum situation, where my brothers could marry the woman, but through the avam sartasura, yet to shesharod chamurot mielu, and to the exclusion of these other shesharayot, well, the efshalina selachim, there's no way they can marry my brothers. And it was these six women, there's no way that it was my mother, my grandmother. I'm prohibited. My brothers are prohibited. They're in a different category altogether. Sarotein luterot. Shein tsara elamiach. The prohibition of a tsara is only that rises from my brother. Okay. So that's the Gemara learns that all these arayot, they pater, you pater with them, you pater with the tsaros, and tsaros, and ad infinitum. Now, the Gemara says, as harashamanu. So when the Torah says, the Torah says two ways. Don't do it, and if you do it, you get this punishment. So the azhara, we touched up. Yishalach utalo tikat letzror. Fine, I got it. Onesh minayin. Where do we find the onesh for all these arayot? So Amar Kroa, tikol sheyasemi kola tovod begomer. It says, anybody does any of these abominations, v'nifritu, they get karet. So we darshened in other words, all the arayot are prohibited, you know, to be taken with Yibam, and that Saros and the Saros of Saros are also prohibited with Yibam, so they'll all be punishable by Karet in a situation like that. Okay, now, the Gemara says, Tama the Kadosh Baruch Hu Ana Aleha. So the reason I know that there's no mitzvah of Yibam when it's you know, my daughter or even the co-wife of my daughter or the co-wife of the co-wife is because I have the Gzeri Shav Aleha, Yibam Yabo Aleha, Mishal Chatelo Tikach Letzor Aleha B'chaya. Don't take a woman and her sister, aleha, and yivam yavo aleha. So even mako mitzvah, I can't take the sister. So halav hachi havamina kot isha miyabemet. But for that, zeir shava, left to my own devices, I would have thought that the mitzvah of yibum trumps everything. If I didn't have that zeir shava, I'd say, you have a mitzvah yibum, go ahead and go for it. So my taima, why would I have thought without the zeir shava that yibum, you know, trumps the consideration of marrying wife's sister? Because I would say that the essay is we know essay is dokalotase, and the Gemara is going to learn where that's from in a minute. But when I have an essay of Yibum that pushes away a lotase, like don't marry a woman and her sister. So, maybe when essay is dokalotase, it's the garden variety lotase. A regular lotas, a chayv and malko. Lotas and shukari midachi. Do we say esse doka lotas when the lotas is a chayv kare? Kare is like one of the most serious things, right? We'll have later on a mesachet kritot. I think there are 36 chayv kritot. So the Gemara says, so why would I have thought without the gzeir shava that there would be a mitzvah of yibum? That's question one. The two, lotas a great menalan. Where do I know the bottom line on Gimel and Beis? Where do I know that a lotas alone is doka an essay? Essay is doka lota, garden bright lotase. The dachi, not the dachi. The thief, the top line of Dalin and Aleph. Even if there's the only thing you remember from the daf, Daniel. Even if the only thing you remember from the daf is worthwhile. The thief, lotabas shatnez. It says in the Torah in Parshas Kitetze, don't wear shatnez, which is wool and linen. And then the next pasuk says gidilim kaselach, made tzitzis. So it means, because I'll teach us that the juxtaposition of psukim teach me that even if I have shatnez by tzitzis, the tchelet has to be wool, blue wool. That's got to be wool. So let's say I have, you know, a linen garment. I have, you know, a satin mitzitzit. So my garment is wool, and even though I have wool tchelet, so the wool and the linen, I have shatnez there. But when I'm doing the mitzvah of tzitzis, the essay is dokalota. But I'm a Reblazar. Reblazar says, smuchim in a torminayin. Where do I know that I darshan the juxtaposition of tzukim? He says, shenemar smuchim ma'ad liolam, asuyim be'emer b'yashar. A smuchim, like the way the Gemara said, the psukim, the near one in each other, are made be'emer b'yashar. In other words, we're going to darshan the juxtaposition of the psukim. All right. I think that's it for tonight. All right, let me end the recording. One second.